Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Empowerment Place. This is your host, Prophetess Valerie Burwell, with my co-host today, Prophet Rodney Vini. Grateful to God for him taking time out of his schedule to come and share with you all and me a teaching on grace. This is part two. Yesterday he released righteousness, and righteousness being the foundation for grace. So today he's going to elaborate more on grace as the Lord leads. So, Prophet, I turn it over to you now. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And once again, we thank you, Prophet Valor, for just opening up this avenue and presenting this opportunity, and certainly for all that you're doing to empower the people of God. We're appreciative of that. Thank God for all the people in the listening audience again today. And my prayer is that this teaching is liberating you in your thinking, and at the same time challenging you and bringing you to a place of understanding, like I stated on yesterday. The grace message is something that must be taught at the application level. Certainly all of the word of the Lord needs to be taught at that level, but, you know, it's so important that we understand grace at the application level, because grace is something that must be appropriated. If we don't appropriate grace, we frustrate grace. And in a lot of instances, then grace is in vain. And so grace has been made available, and it's something that must be appropriated. And so we're going to kind of expound a little bit more on the grace today. Yesterday, my objective was to kind of lay a foundation. Romans 8 tells us that grace reigns through righteousness. And so if we don't understand the righteousness piece of it, righteousness addresses our position, all right? And if we don't get that piece first, then we're not going to have the foundation that we need in place to appropriate grace. And so on yesterday, we elaborated concerning righteousness. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. That satisfies the legal requirement that's required by God to call us his sons, his heirs, and to be qualified as joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That puts us in position to receive all manner of grace that God has made available to us. And so that's where I want to start off today, Prophet Valerie. I want to kind of expound on what grace is, and then we'll kind of jump into this relevant teaching on grace. So basically, a basic definition of grace is the empowerment of God, all right? It is actually the ability of God that's been made available to us, all right? And so grace is represented by anything that God has invested in us. Grace is represented by anything God has invested in us. And so we can start with Jesus. God gave his only begotten son. He made a significant investment in us through his son. All right? That's grace. All right? That's an example of grace. When we receive Jesus, we're receiving grace. The Gospel of John chapter 1 said Jesus is full of grace. And so when we receive Christ, we receive the free gift of grace, all right, which is saving grace. That's the divine enablement that empowers us now to be transformed in an inner man and things like that. So that's saving grace. You can also say that he invested the precious Holy Spirit, because once we receive Jesus, the Spirit of God comes into our lives, and then there's the great empowerment of being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's an investment of God. It's an investment of his grace. The Bible refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of grace. All right, Hebrews 10 refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of grace. So these are examples of grace. Again, it's by any God invests in us. Wisdom is an example of grace. All right, anointing is an example of grace.
Amen.
All right. That's why you hear us use the terminology, the grace that's on a person's life.
Mm-hmm.
That refers to the anointing, the gifting that God has invested in a particular person's life that enables them to do what God has sent them to do. That's an example of grace. That's why you hear that terminology. Some circles, when it refers to a bishopric, refer to his grace or her grace. When we refer to bishop, it speaks to that grace God has invested in their lives that enables them to do this level of ministry. And so these are examples of grace. Now, let me just shift back for just a second, and let's go to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is another example of an investment of grace.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit has been given to us by grace, and we receive him. He resides inside of our spirit. The Spirit of God is in us. All right? And he's come with 9 gifts and fruit. Those are all representative of grace.
Mm-hmm.
The 9 gifts and the 9 fruit are grace, are examples, are representative of grace that God has invested in us. Now, this is important for us to understand, that 9 gifts of the Spirit and 9 fruit of the Spirit have been invested in us. Many people don't walk in this level of understanding, and they say that they can't do certain things.
Right.
Well, if you've been given the grace to do such a thing, you should not be declaring you can't do such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So in instance, it's requiring you to walk in love towards someone who might be a challenge for you to forgive, a challenge for you to even interact with. You are lying if you declare, I just can't get along with that person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In fact, you will say, the grace is in you to deal with that particular person.
Amen.
Because one of the fruits of the Spirit is love.
Mm-hmm.
He has divinely enabled you to love just like he loves.
Mm-hmm.
His ability of love, his ability to love, just like he does. You have the propensity and the capacity to love just like God. All right? Another fruit of the Spirit that we tend to lie about is patience.
Mm.
People say, I'm not a patient person. Or are you saved?
Well,
if you're saved, again, the Holy Spirit has come with 9 gifts and 9 fruit. And one of those fruits is long-suffering.
Mm-hmm.
According to Galatians 22, one of the fruit is long-suffering, okay? Which means now you have the propensity and the capacity to be patient.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He has given you, if he's requiring you to be patient, he has given you the grace to do it. See, so grace is the insurety that God has given us that we won't fail.
Amen.
That we can meet his requirements. So if he's requiring us to forgive folk and to walk in love, we have the grace to do it. But we got people, we got church folk, we got saints walking around saying they can't do something.
Mm-hmm.
I just cannot forgive that person.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if the truth be told, it's not that you can't do it because you have grace to do it. If the truth be told, it's the fact that you don't want to do it.
You don't want to do it.
You don't want to forgive the people.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that you don't want to forgive them is simply because you're self-serving and self-willed. You're not willing to submit your will to the Father's will. You have the grace inside of you to do it. And so to say that I can't do it is to bring an indictment against grace. The lame man in Gospel of John chapter 5 is sitting here for 38 years in a condition. And his reason for being in this condition for so long is he doesn't have anyone to help him. I don't have any grace to do what's required of me. Because I need to be the first man in this pool when the water is stirred up. And I don't have any help. No one will help me. Well, you're bringing an indictment against grace, all right? You're bringing an indictment against grace, and therefore, that's the reason why, the real reason why you've been in this condition for so long is because you're believing a lie.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really need to get into the pool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you read the story. Jesus never put him in the pool.
Amen.
So you've been sitting here for 38 years, believing that you need to get into the pool, which is basically a lie. And one of the things, I don't know if we'll get time to get into it today, but one of the things that you got to realize is grace and truth walk together.
Amen.
And so if you're not walking in truth, you can't appropriate grace.
Amen.
So if you're sitting there telling yourself the reason for your condition is something other than that which is truth,
mm-hmm.
you can't appropriate grace.
Mm-hmm.
Can't appropriate grace. All right? Let's go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, Prophetess Valerie, and we'll just start there today because this is important. Grace and truth flow together. Grace and truth walk together.
Mm-hmm.
And so grace wants truth to be applied.
Amen.
And if we don't apply truth, we hinder grace.
Amen.
We hinder grace. In Mark's Gospel, chapter number 10, it's the account that we so oftentimes refer to as the rich young ruler.
Mm-hmm.
And we begin there in verse number 17. It says, now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, good teacher, what should I do that I may inherit eternal life?
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. Verse 19, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. Verse 20, and he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Verse 21, then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. And come take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Normally we focus on the fact that his possessions had possession of him
mm-hmm.
as being an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But even more significant than that is the fact that this young man approached Jesus expecting to get something from the Lord and nothing would be required of him.
Mm.
Nothing would be required of him because he felt he was already doing everything right.
Right.
He's not walking in truth.
Amen.
His approach to God, I got this thing. I'm doing everything right. And Jesus says, oh, wait a minute now.
Mm-hmm.
You're lacking one thing. That's he didn't expect that.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't expect that there would be something required of him. So he's not walking in truth. I'm convinced, Prophetess Valerie, that even as we approach at the close of this year of 2013, we're crossing over into a year 2014, there are a lot of things that should have already happened
Amen.
In our lives.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that should have already happened. Most of us have heard, I mean, the people in the listening audience who have an ear to hear God, without question, you have heard many great things that God has said concerning you.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of great things that God has declared concerning you and I.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these things have not yet come to pass. And it's not because it was not yet the time for these things to be fulfilled. Don't believe the lie of timing. Oh, boy. I said don't believe the time lie.
Ooh.
That it wasn't the time. Okay? That will frustrate the grace from flowing in your life to cause these things to come to pass because you believe in a lie. You're not walking in truth. Okay, there's a lot of things that God has declared, a lot of great things that God has spoken that should have happened, could have happened by now.
Mm.
We have frustrated and hindered the movement of God in our life simply because in a lot of instances we don't walk in truth. And grace wants truth to be applied.
Mm.
When we don't walk in truth, we frustrate grace. And grace, again, is the divine enablement that is assigned to address issues in our life. Grace, again, is the divine enablement that's assigned to address anything in our lives that's causing us to not look like who God says we are.
Mm-hmm.
And God says we are sons of God. God says we are his heirs. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Okay, we addressed all that yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That's who God says we are. That's our position with God, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Joint heirs, heirs of God,
yeah.
Sons of God, okay? And he wants our life to exhibit and manifest the glory of that. He wants our lives to look like that, even in the physical, even in the natural realm. What's the issue? We don't always walk in truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it frustrates the grace that has an assignment to come and make our lives look like that. Now, if my that doesn't mean that I'm not a son of God.
Hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
That doesn't mean that doesn't change my position. What can separate me from the love of God? We dealt with that yesterday, Romans 8, verses 31 through 37.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going through trials, if I'm going through lack. All right? None of these things changes my position. It doesn't change my position. All right? All right, I've got to declare that I am the righteousness of God.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I got to maintain and understand my position doesn't change. My condition doesn't change my position. And my position is not the reason for my condition. All right, and so God is not mad at me. I have peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what Romans 5 teaches us. Okay, so that's not the issue. But again, grace wants truth. Grace wants truth, and we hinder the movement of grace, the flow of grace that's assigned to address issues in our lives when we don't walk in truth,
mm-hmm.
All right? When we got some other reason for what's going on in our life other than what God says it is.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we're going through something, we got to realize God is requiring something of us. Whenever we're facing challenges, all right, whenever you're dealing with difficult people, God is requiring something of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we so oftentimes get caught up in what we're going through that we fail, that we start responding to and feeding into what we're going through.
Yeah.
I'm giving somebody their answer right now.
Yeah.
We get caught up into and start feeding into what we're going through instead of responding to God in the midst of what we're going through. And when we take that approach, now we're missing. We're not in position to receive truth about what we're going through.
Mm-hmm.
So you could be in a situation where you're dealing with somebody that's difficult, somebody that's challenging you, somebody that's causing you all sorts of problems and all sorts of headache and all sorts of distress, and you're so focused on that person being messed up and being wrong that you don't realize that your response to the whole thing is wrong. And that's the reason why you have not gotten out of that situation. God is requiring more of you in that situation. Your response is not right to that. But as long as you're focused on the situation, as long as you're focused on the persecution and the frustration, and you're just feeding into what's going on concerning the other person, you won't get truth.
Yeah.
And you frustrate grace. You frustrate grace.
I didn't want to interject, but you said...
Please do.
You said something that was very crucial when you talked about, you know, not believing the time lie, because how that frustrates grace, too. And then, too, how we focus on the things that people may want from us or need from us, or they may have affected us. But like we were sharing before we went on air, is that you've placed too much focus on people and taken your focus off of God. And
amen.
Because you focused on people and how to make sure that the people are okay with what you've decided or what you've decided not to or how you're going to make your next move or not make your next move. If you're trying to please people and not focus on what God is expressly speaking to you about what he desires from you, then you can expect that grace is going to be frustrated.
Amen.
because whenever we're trying to move according to our plan or man's plan, taking God out of the equation to really exercise that capacity and propensity that's already on the inside of us, we're not really tapping into those gifts and those fruit that are inside of us because we've taken the spirit out of the equation and we're operating in flesh.
Amen.
So grace has nothing to do but watch us.
That's right. Grace will stand back with his arms folded.
Yeah, and just watch.
You're moving in your own strength.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're moving in your own strength.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let me scripture to validate your point.
Amen.
Psalm 147 and 11.
Amen.
Psalm 147, verse 10 and 11 says this. It says, he does not delight in the strength of the horse, and he takes no pleasure in the legs of a man.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his mercy.
Amen.
God is not interested in what you can own strength.
Amen.
He's not interested, and neither is he impressed by anything we might be able to accomplish in our own strength. God is impressed by those who operate and flow and appropriate his grace.
Amen.
And you shouldn't have any problem is moving this way. Because understand the significant investment he has made. He has given his son. He's invested his son. He's invested his spirit in us.
Mm-hmm.
So that we will have access to this grace.
Mm-hmm.
And then for us to not even appropriate that in favor of our own strength is an insult to God. It's to tell God, God, I got this and I can do it without you.
Mm.
God, I can handle this in my own flesh. I can handle this in my own intellect. And I don't need the investment of your gifts. I don't need the investment of your fruit. I don't need the investment of your wisdom. I don't need the investment of your anointing. I don't need any of your grace. I got this.
Mm.
That's an insult to God.
Yeah.
Especially in light of the significant price that he's paid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's equivalent of somebody buying you, paying for a plane ticket for you to travel to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But you figure you can walk to Florida and won't have to pay.
Yes.
They won't have to take advantage of, not necessarily not have to pay, but you can walk there and won't have to use the ticket that someone else has bought. That's an insult.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That you think, that you feel like you can get this thing done, you got a better way of doing it.
Hmm.
And so this is the reason why God moves this way.
Yeah.
He's not impressed. And truth be told, we've done a lot of things in our own strength, and God has allowed us.
Yeah.
We've built churches. We've built ministries. We've established businesses, not because God's grace enabled us to do it, but simply because we had the strength within ourselves to do it.
Yes, yes.
We had the money to do it. And so we went out and we opened daycares. We opened schools. We built buildings. In our own strength.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And God allowed us to do it. But the hour of man's glory is over now.
Amen. Amen.
God is not impressed with our buildings. He's not impressed with our schools and our daycares that we've built in our own strength.
Mm.
Okay? Man's glory is always temporary. 1 Peter 1, it talks about that. It says the glory of man is like grass or the flower that falls. It's temporary. But the word of the Lord shall endure forever. Okay, if it's God's grace, it's God's glory.
Yeah.
If it's man's strength, it's man's glory.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Man's glory will always be temporary. So if you want God's glory, you got to move and operate and appropriate God's grace. It's by vitally important in this hour that we understand how to appropriate grace.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's go to the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, because I want to expound on this term that I continue to use, and I want to make sure everyone understands this terminology that I'm using when I say appropriate grace.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this has to be taught at the application level.
Amen.
The Gospel of Luke chapter 4, and let's begin at verse 24.
Amen.
It says, "Then he said, assuredly I say to you, no prophet is accepted, but I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon to a woman who was a widow." Verse 27, "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian."
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting account here, analogy here. Jesus is declaring that in the days of Elijah, there were many widows in Israel. The heavens were shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine. But Elijah was sent to none of them except to the widow who was in Zarephath. Then he talks about Elijah, another prophet. It says there were many lepers in Israel in the day or at the time of Elijah, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman. What you get from this particular text is the fact it shows you how God appropriates or how God stages his grace. God sends his grace to a specific position, specific location, and he sets his grace in a specific location. Okay, with the account with Elijah. Elijah was sent specifically to Zarephath to the widow there. All right, he was sent there. Elijah was set in a specific location in Israel. Now the people, the two individuals who got the help that they need was in the right place to appropriate the grace.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay? The widow was in Zarephath, and grace was sent to her. But guess what? If you're not in Zarephath, and grace is not being sent to you, sent to your location, then you have to go where the grace is sent.
Yes.
Which means now that you have to get up from where you are. If you're not in position to get the grace that you need, if you're not in position to receive the grace that you need, if there's no teaching grace where you are, if there's no prophetic grace where you are, if there's no apostolic grace where you are, and this is the dimension of grace that you need to tap into for this particular season of your life so that you will have the divine enablement to move forward in your life, you have to get up from where you are and go where the grace is.
Amen.
God sets it and he sends it to a specific location, and if it's not where you are, it's time for you to stop waiting for it to come. It's not coming. It's not coming where you are. If it hasn't already shown up, I declare to you today, it's not coming where you are. It's time for you to make a move. It's time for you to get up and to go where the grace has been set or where the grace has been sent.
Yeah.
People are sitting in expired places waiting for grace to show up. It's not coming.
Mm-mm.
You have to go where it's been sent. Go where it's been said. That's what we're talking about when we talk about appropriating grace. Appropriating grace means that you have to go, you have to do, you have to resolve what it is that you need to do to receive the grace that's available, that God has made available for you.
Yeah.
You have to resolve the steps you need to take, the moves you need to make in order to appropriate, in order to use what God has made available. And sometimes that means you have to change your location.
Mm-mm.
If you sit there and wait for it and it's not showed up, and you've got conditions that are not being addressed, it is not because God has not made the grace available.
Yeah.
Don't sit there and bring an indictment against grace. The indictment is against you.
Yeah.
because you have failed to appropriate what God has made available.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that way across the board. Anybody who dies in their sin and does not make heaven, it won't be an indictment against grace because Jesus has died for all mankind. Grace is available for anybody to get saved. Don't make no difference what you've done, what you're doing, where you're at, who you are, where you live. Grace has been made available to any and everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So if you miss heaven, if you miss the kingdom of God, if you miss out on what God has staged and prepared for you, it's an indictment against you. You didn't appropriate what God made available. You didn't appropriate the grace.
Yes. Yes.
And you will be held accountable for that. You will never be able to go before God and blame God for not giving you help.
Mm-mm-mm.
We're trying to be like the lame man now,
yeah.
Trying to blame somebody for your condition.
The more you kept talking about that, the more I kept hearing a key to the kingdom. Because it says in Matthew 16:19, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
It talks about binding and loosing in heaven and in earth. But when you're not accurately appropriating grace, then you're not appropriating the keys to the kingdom.
Amen.
So, like you said, when things aren't happening, it's not because God has done something. It's because you haven't done something.
That's right.
He's given you access to a new door where you can be sent or set, and you keep the keys in your pocket and stay in the expired place.
Yes, exactly.
Just like you and your mom went out today, for whatever reason, she was ready for change.
Amen.
She went out to seek the change, and she got new keys because she needed new access, and she appropriated grace.
Amen.
So when we're in this place, and I think this is God, that this message would come to you now, listeners, so that as you transition into 2014, you can't go into 2014 with the same lie you lived in 2013, making everything that you faced in 2013 about somebody else, about what someone else did to you or how someone else failed you, when the truth is you weren't in a place to really hear what God was speaking and appropriate the grace because you've already got the solutions on the inside of you.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah, God. Okay.
You know, that is a relevant statement that you make right there. And one of the accounts I just love to refer people to when you have people in that state of mind playing the blame game.
Mm-hmm.
2 Samuel chapter 9, there's a story about a young man named Mephibosheth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the story of Mephibosheth is the fact that he was lame in his feet as a result of being dropped by his nurse who was running away from the enemy one day.
Yeah.
And so Mephibosheth ends up, when we meet Mephibosheth, he's living in a place called Lodabar.
Mm-hmm.
Lodabar happened to be the place where criminals came and hid out. So he's living in a place, he's living below the standard, he's living beneath his privileges and all these sorts of things. And you would think, as a result of being lame in his feet, you would think the reason that he's living in this condition is because he's lame in his feet.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you read the account, again, it's in 2 Samuel chapter 9, when you read the account, you find that King David comes down and he's looking for someone to show favor to.
Yeah.
In this particular account, King David is a type and shadow of Jesus, the King Jesus. And so King David is showing us how King Jesus would also move in this situation.
Amen. Amen.
And so King David says, is there anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show favor? And they said, well, you know, there's Mephibosheth.
Mm-hmm.
He's here down in Lodabar.
Mm-hmm.
And so David says, well, call him. And so they call Mephibosheth out of Lodabar. He comes and presents himself before David. And David begins to declare to this young man some things concerning his life.
Mm-hmm.
And David begins to declare to him, you know, how he's going to bless him. David says, you know, I'm going to set you up. And basically David established this business for this young man and hires a staff to run the business.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, David says, now while this business is running, being run for you, and the staff that I'm hiring is going to run the business for you, David says you're going to sit at the king's table, and that you're going to eat from the king's table continually. And the young man is taken aback by all of this, and he says, how is this happening for someone who's such a dead dog as I? Now, this is the thing now. So David sets this young man up. He's got the business going, and David says, you're going to sit at the king's table continually.
Yeah.
At the end of the story, Prophetess Valerie, it makes a profound statement. It says, at the end of all of this happening now, he's set up now. He's got his business set up for him. He's got his staff running the business. He don't even have to worry about running the business, okay? He's just going to be the benefactor of the fruits of the business, and he's just sitting at the king's table. He's set up.
Yeah.
And at the end of the story, it says, and Mephibosheth was still lame in his feet.
Still lame in his feet.
So now watch this. At the beginning, remember I said you would think that the reason that he was living in this condition was because of his lameness,
mm-hmm.
but that wasn't the reason why he was there at all.
Mm-hmm.
The real reason why he was living in this condition is the way he saw himself.
That's it.
It's what he thought about himself. He says he called himself a dead dog. That's the reason that you're in love about Mephibosheth. It's not because you're in lame. Because grace can overpower you even if you're lame.
Mm-hmm.
Grace can empower you to overcome that challenge in your life even if it remains.
Mm.
And so a lot of people got excuses.
Yeah.
But let me say this in closing. An excuse is simply an indictment against grace.
Mm-mm-mm.
An excuse is nothing but an indictment against grace. Grace comes and eliminates any conceivable excuse you could ever conceive or you could ever fathom. It eliminates it. Whatever is challenging you, grace is assigned to that, to empower you to overcome that. Well, my parents didn't help me. Well, grace has come to empower you to overcome the help that you didn't get. Grace has come to empower you to overcome that challenge. Grace is available right now for you to overcome the lack of support. Grace is available right now to empower you to overcome the lack of education, the lack of what you feel is intelligence. Grace is present right now. Grace is available right now to empower you to overcome any and every challenge that's stopping you from fulfilling the purpose and the intent of God. So what excuse remains? There certainly is none. This young man, Mephibosheth, is set up, sitting at the king's table, eat from the king's table, got a business operating for him. All of his needs are going to be met now. This could have happened a while back. Okay?
Yeah.
But he's thinking of himself as a dead dog. He doesn't understand this concept a position, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Big issue a lot of us have is what we think about ourselves, the way we see ourselves.
Yeah.
God sees us as sons.
Mm-hmm.
1 John 3.
Mm-hmm.
Beloved, behold what manner of love God has bestowed upon us that he would call us sons of God.
Mm-hmm.
Right now. He sees us as sons, which means he sees us as he sees Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason he does that is because Jesus is seated at his right hand, where he ever lives to make intercession. So whenever any interaction is made concerning us, God is always looking at his right hand.
Mm-mm-mm.
He's always looking at us through Jesus. That's a hard concept for some people to embrace, but you got to get there.
Got to.
You got to get there. Let me read this final scripture in Romans chapter 5. It says this. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That simply means God is not mad at you.
Mm.
He's not out to get you. He's out to bless you.
Mm.
We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It means that he's Emmanuel.
Mm.
He's God with us. God is with us. He is for us.
Yes.
Verse 2 says, to whom also, I'm in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, verse 2 says, to whom, watch this now, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. The access to the grace is through Jesus. It's not in our own righteousness. You can't get access to it in your own righteousness. All right, it's the righteousness of God that you access, all right, this grace, to whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That means that I have hope. I have hope now that glory is going to be seen in my life. Why? I got access to the grace that I need to cause the grace to cause the glory to be revealed. I have access to the grace that I need. Through Jesus Christ, I got access to the grace that I need because God's grace results in God's glory.
Amen.
If it's your strength, it will be your glory, and your glory is temporary.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's God's grace, it's God's glory, and God's glory is eternal.
Yes, it is.
God's glory is going to last.
Yes, it will.
Amen.
Amen.
We'll close. I'll end right there, Prophetess Valerie. Do you want to have any answer any questions or anything, any other feedback?
Another great teaching. And if you're listening now and, you know, you might have missed something because of the flow, go back and you can have an opportunity to listen in the archives to these messages again. Prophet will be with us again on Thursday to sort of summarize or hammer in a little bit more about the appropriation of grace. So we're grateful to God for that. If you're in this area, in the Northern Neck area, Prophet, along with Apostle Cynthia Taylor Brooks and Prophet Sharon Agee, will be at a prophetic New Year's Summit at New Jerusalem Baptist Church in Kinsale tonight, starting at 8 o'clock p.m.
Amen.
And I know that there will be a tremendous atmosphere and release of God's word to help prepare you for the coming year. So consider that. Just thank you so much for your support. We have now set up that if these messages that you're hearing are a blessing to you and you would like to sow into the Empowerment Place to keep us on air, you can do so by going to PayPal. The email address is empower_yourself@yahoo.com. You'll get a receipt for your gift, and we thank you so much for that. As always, we just thank God for what he's done, for what he's doing. We thank God for the words that are being released into your spirit to give you guidance, to help bring alignment in your life, and to certainly empower you, because it is our prayer that as you're empowered, you will take the responsibility to empower someone else. So we say God bless you, Happy New Year to you, and we ask that you would join us again on Thursday at 4 o'clock p.m. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Prophet Vini. God bless you.
God bless you, and thank you.